is Daf Yud Aleph. So we got to around six lines down in the Amud here. So the Gemara quotes a Brayson, Al Tanur Rabbanan, Me'am Haaretz, the Pasuk says, is talking about who brings a regular Chatas. The Pasuk says, on the side I'm reading, Im Nefesh Achas Techtev, a person sinned, Bishkaga, accidentally, Me'am Haaretz, Basosa Achas, Mimitzes Hashem, if it's from Am Haaretz. What do you mean, Me'am Haaretz? What's the Joshua? So the Gemara says, Me'am Haaretz is Prat Mashiach, that the Kohen Mashiach, a Kohen Gadol, doesn't bring a regular carbon Yachid. Me'am Haaretz, Prat Nasi, Nasi also doesn't bring a typical carbon chatas. The Gemara says, what's the need for a drasha? V'alo kvar yatsu mashiach lidon bepar. We already know. The pasuk tells us in Parsha Vayikra what the Kohen Gadol brings. He brings when he does a chatas along with a par with a helm davar. That's when he brings a chatas. That clearly indicates that he doesn't bring a regular carbon chatas. So why do you have to have a special drasha? And the same idea. Nasi lidon Nasi lidon besir shiachol besir. We already know that Nasi also was excluded. Because there's a special pasuk that Asher Nasi Yechte, that a Nasi brings a sire, so Mimela we know he doesn't bring the regular carbon of a Yachid. So the Gemara says, Sheyachal Mashiach al Helm Davar, im Shkagas Maisa maybe par. One might think when the pasuk says a Koi Mashiach brings a par, that's when the Shkagas Maisa is accompanied by a par, by a Helm Davar. But al Shkagas Maisa l'chudei, but if the Koi Mashiach violates an Aveir alone, without a Helam Davar, one may think he should be maybe a Kizba of a Seira, just like a regular Yachid. That's why I need to teach me, Tam Lomer Me'am Aret Prat L'Mashiach, that a Kohen Mashiach never brings a carbon of a Yachid. The only time he brings a carbon Chatas is when he violates a Shkaga im Helam Davar. And then the second part of this Joshua was Me'am Haaret is Prat L'Nasi, to exclude a Nasi, Tinach Mashiach. So I understand the Kohen Mashiach, we just explained the Joshua. El Nasi, Bishkagas Maisu de Maisi. The Nasi, the Pasuk tells us, when does a Nasi bring the Sa'ir? When he violates the Shkagas Maisa. So we know Mimela, he doesn't bring a regular carbon Yachid. So there's no need for a drasha for a Nasi. So Gemara answers, Amar Rav Zvid Mishmei de Rava. Hacha b'maya skinan, what's the situation here? Kagon sh'acha kazayis chaylev kishu hedyot. He ate a piece of chaylev, which is chayv kares in a shchatas when done b'shogeg, when he was a hedyot. V'nismane, then he was appointed to be Nasi, v'acharkach nodelo. Afterwards, he became aware that he ate a chaylev, some chaylev, when he was already a hedyot. So sa'akadai techamin, I would think, since when he violated the Avera, he was a hedyot, even though he only became aware while being a Nasi, but going based on Shas Maisi, he was a hedyot, one may think, Nasi, Kizba, Osira, like a regular Yachid, Kamash Malan, that no, we go based on Shas Yediyah. And since when he became aware, he was already a Nasi, he brings a Sa'ir, not a Kizba or Seira. The Gemara explains, Hanichal Rabbi Shimon does a Basa Yediyah. This goes well according to Rabbi Shimon, who holds, we go based on when he became aware, based on Yediyah, and since he was a Nasi when he had Yediyah, he doesn't bring a Kizba or Seira. El the Rabbanan, who argue, Dazi Basa Chata, they go based on when the Maisa Avera happened, in which case he was a Hediyot, Ma'ik Lameymar. In this situation where he was a hedyot and violated ate the chaylev and then became a nasi, he should taka bring a carbon of a chatas of a kizbo seira because he was a hedyot at the time of the avera. So then, what's the need to exclude nasi from the am haaretz? El Amar Rav Zvid, he explains differently mishmei derava to understand the rabbanon. Excuse me, hachamayis. You know what's the case here? Kigon sheacha chatzi kazayis chaylev kishu hedyot. He ate half a kazayis when he was a hedyot. And then he became appointed in Ismana, he became appointed in Nasi, and then Yishlima, after becoming appointed in Nasi, he finished off that Kezayas of Chaylev, and then only after Zacharkach Nodulo, then he became aware of his Avera. So in this situation, Sakadaitech Amina Nitztarif Vinaisi Kizbo Sira, in this situation, since there's a Tzira, Chati Kezayas, each one independently is not Chai Vechatas, but in the aggregate, it does amount to a Kezayas and it's Chai Vechatas. One may think you should combine together, and since he started off the Isser as a Hedyot, and he finishes off as a Nasi, he should then bring a Karban Yachid as well. Kamash Malan, that what he brings based on a Nasi, because since he finished the Kazayis as a Nasi, that's the Vifi, that's a Maisavera, that's when that's he brings as a Nasi, not as a Hedyot. That's the Josh of Me'am Haaretz.
I think Rashi says he doesn't bring a Seer, because it's
in the Seer. Let's see, where's that Rashi?
Kamash,
right on the right.
The right side. Same place where we were.
Oh, there you go. Kamash Malam, Me'am Haaretz, Prat L'Nasi, the Ki Gavna Lo Maisi, Kisbo Seira, the Ki Gavna Nami Lo Maisi, Sayer, the Holo Mitzvah for Klal. You can't combine it at all. Do others argue on this? I wonder. Very good. So you'll see, I'll tell you in just a second, no one seems to argue, at least in the footnote here. It's a long footnote, so I don't know. I'm guessing because of the footnote someone may argue, but Rashi says they don't bring anything. In terms of the Zman, the Tosas Rashi writes, has to be Kedei Achias Pras. Now, they ask the question, how in the world does that happen? The guy eats a half a Kedai, so he gets a point in Nasi, and then he finishes off the half a Kedai right afterwards. It's very, very unlikely for that to happen. So they bring a raya from the Gemara in Shabbos that talks about if you write an Os Achas on Shabbos in the morning and you write an Os Achas in the evening, even though there's a tremendous hefsek, there are situations where you can combine things together. So I'm not sure how that works exactly, both in Tosas Rush. Again, it was some crazy case. He was eating kazayas. Your father just died. You're now the new king. And let me finish my piece of fat here. And he finishes it off. Something wild like that, I guess. Okay. Gemara now asks, by the way, that might be actually an interesting idea. It could be if a father died, he mimela because of a Yerusha. We'll see in Amud Beis that Malchus is a Yerusha. So it could be mimela. If he's the only son, he becomes the king automatically, and it could happen he becomes king while eating the chaylev, even though there's no official appointment. So it might depend on when a person is Yorish Malchus. Do you have to have the official minoy from Bezin, or it happens mimela? I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe it happens mimela, and that's why the timing makes sense. Gemara now asks, "Boy, minei Rava mi Rav Nachman, Nesius mao shetafsik? Can Nesius being appointed, can it be an interruption of eating? Isn't that in essence what we were just saying before?" So the Gemara says, "What's the case? Hey chidam, kagon sheachol chati kazayis chaylev kishu hedyo. He ate as a hedyo to half a kazayis of chaylev. And Nismane, he was appointed to be nasi. Va'avar v'shlimu, and then he finished it off. He finished off the kazayis after being coming appointed a king." Hasam who delomet starif da'acha palga kishu hedyot upalga kishu nasi. Maybe only in that case it's not mitzarif because he ate once as a hedyot and now he's a completely new individual. Aval hacha idivi idi kishu hu hedyot achla mitzarif. So the case is in the Nesias Mao. Rashi explains here, I believe. Where's that Rashi? No Rashi here. It must be a case where he was a hedyot, then was a Nasi, and then probably became a Hedyot again. That's what you're talking about, Hedyot, Hedyot. I don't see Rashi explaining that, but that's the case. So now, the Nasi is in the middle, but then when he was a Hedyot, he finished off the Kazayas. So only when he's a Nasi and a Hedyot are those two different people. But as a Hedyot, and a Hedyot, even though there's an interruption of Nasi is in the middle, it's at least the same person. So the Gemara says, again, Hasam hu delo mitzarif there, it's not mitzarif to achla palga kishu hedyot, hu palga kishu nasi, of al-hach, in our case, idividi kishu hedyot achla, and therefore you should say mitzarif, even though there was a period of time where he was in this nasi in between. Odimma loshna, perhaps we don't really care, once his nasius, it breaks up all types of kizayisim. So Mai, what's the answer? So Tipshe Le Mihal, let's answer from the following statement of Ula. Damer Ula, Ula quotes from Rabbi Yochanan, Achel Chaylev, a guy eats Chaylev, the Hifrish carbon, and he sets aside an animal to bring it to carbon. Now before he gets a chance to be makriv the carbon, the Himir, he became off the Das Himir Daito, is the Lashon of Mumar. He became a Mumar, he went off the Derech, and a person off the Derech is not Shayach to bring a carbon, he's not, you have to be Shavim B'Diasa, the Gemara says, we'll see shortly. Only a person who's done tshuva can bring a karbon. So now the guy goes off the derech, he's not right to bring a karbon yet. So what's the halacha? The chazer bo, then he does tshuva now, so he has to bring a new karbon. The first karbon he set aside no longer works. Why? Hol v'nidche yidche. Since at the moment, I'm a Reuven. Reuven set aside a karbon. Reuven went off the derech, the karbon's no longer shayach for him. We shove away that karbon, and when he comes back to do tshuva, it's too late. He can't use that karbon anymore. It's already called nidcha. Once an animal's nidcha, it's not roy to be brought as a karbon. It's possible forever. So here as well, once the hedyot became a nasi, so nasi's not shayach to bring a karbon for when he was a hedyot. So now even though he became a hedyot again, once we say the carbon is no longer shayach, it's be yidcha entirely. So the Gemara says you can't compare a case of a hedyot nasi hedyot to a person who is a shomer Torah mitzvos mumar to shomer Torah mitzvos. They're two different cases. Why? Because hachi hasha, let's understand this. A mumar la bar suya carbon hu. The mumar was not shayach for carbon at all. It was ramabicha nidcha. As opposed to high bar asuya carbon, the nasi, although it's a different carbon he brings, he's still shy. He's still in the parish of carbonos, and maybe will not be considered yidcha. And the Gemara doesn't give you an answer. What happens when he's a hedyot nasi hedyot? There is no answer. The Gemara doesn't say teiku here, but there is no answer either. Gemara now says, Let's say he ate a safek chaylev. He wasn't sure if it was chaylev or not, which requires a asham tali. V'nismana, then he became appointed as a nasi. And then v'nodelo al sveiko, and he became aware of a safek only as a nasi. So does he have to bring an asham tali or not? Al sveiko mah, what's the din? So aliba de rabbanan da'azli baser chata lo tibari lecha. According to the rabbanan who always go based on when the maisa chayt took place, we don't care when you found out about it. Well, since at the time he was a head yot, so then the maisi asham tali, it's pashut, he brings an asham tali. Elaki tibari lecha, when is the question asked? Aliba the Rabbi Shimon who holds you go based on yediyah, and since he knew about it only when he was a nasi, do we say midishtani levadai ishtani lesafik? So since when he changes in terms of vadai, his karbanos change as well. A yachid, a hedyo brings a seer of a kizba, and a nasi brings a sire. So since with respect to the vadai karban, the karbanos change, do we say also with respect to safek, asham talay, he's viewed as a new person, and therefore he wouldn't have to bring anymore? Oh, Dilmar, perhaps, ki ishtani levadai, the ishtani karban didei. When do we say there's a change? Hedyo to nasi, so since it's a change in karbanos, so the nasi doesn't have to bring for when he was a hedyo and vice versa. Aval hacha, lo ishtani karban didei. But if a nasi is chayv an asham taloi, he brings the same exact carbon as a yachid brings as an asham taloi, a malaisi asham taloi. So maybe in this case, even though with respect to vadai, there is a change of carbonos, but with respect to safek, there isn't a change of carbonos, so maybe he should bring the carbon asham taloi. And the Gemara says there's no answer. This also is a taker. We don't have an answer for this question. Gemara now says, Tanur Rabban, the Braisa tells us, Me'am ha'aretz prat limumar. This is a different drasha than we saw above. It says, Me'am ha'aretz, a person who keeps Torah mitzvos, that's the exclusion of a mumar, a person who is off the derech. Rabbi Shimba, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Shimon, Asher lo ta'asena bishgaga, v'ashem hashe b'diyaso mevi karbon ashgagaso, lo she b'diyaso ein mevi karbon ashgagaso. So he quotes a different pasuk here, sounds to be saying the same thing, that a person who is really v'ashem, who has guilt.
Is this the same pasuk as before or a different one?
This is a different pasuk than before.
Different pasuk.
But the same idea, we'll see in Afkamina in just a moment. But since it says v'ashem, that he was guilty, that implies that he has charata and he does tshuva. So only hasher b'diyas, only if he has tshuva, is he right to bring a karban. But if he didn't do tshuva, he's not right to bring a karban. That's in essence the first opinion, that a mumar doesn't bring a karban. So what's an afkamina between the Tanu Kama and Rabbi Shimon? So Gemara asks, my benai, what's the difference? Amar Rav Nuna, mumar le'echel chelev u'mevi karban al hadam. A person who's a mumar, he's mamish, loves eating chaylev, he loves eating fat, that's asertim, but he feels bad, he wants a dam, and he feels bad on eating the dam. So can he bring a carbon dam, even though he's still holding out and eating chaylev? He still eats chaylev, he still eats treif, but he has charata on the dam. So Mar Savar, one opinion holds, came with the mumar lechel chaylev the dam, nami mumar havi. The first opinion thinks, if he's a mumar to something, then he's a mumar to everything else. So if he's a mumar to chaylev, then he cannot bring a carbon on the dam. But Ma'ar Savar, according to Rabbi Shimon, l'dam mia shebidiyasa. We look at it very narrowly. And since in the world of the Isser Dam, he has charata, he is ve'ashem on the dam, even though chaylev, he's not charata on, we don't care about that. He's hashem midiyasa from that particular avera, in which case he is roi to bring the carbon on the dam, even though he's still holding out on eating chaylev. That's the nafkamina. The Gemara says, but is that really true? V'har Rava, doesn't Rava say, Amar, dechuli alma, mumar lechel chaylev lo havi mumar ledam. There's a klal we have. If you're mumar to one area of Torah, it does not make you mumar to the other area of Torah. Meaning even the Tanna Kamma would agree that this person is able to bring a carbon on the dam, because he's not a mumar ledam. Ah, he's a mumar lechaylev, we don't care. We look at each iser as a separate category. And since in the world of chaylev, rather the world of dam, he's willing to bring a carbon, he's no longer a mumar and can bring a carbon on the dam according to both opinions. So what's the nafkamina according to Rava then? Elahacha be'ochel nevela l'te'avon. The guy who eats nevela for te'avon. What does it mean te'avon? Te'avon means the guy's got no self-control. If he had two options of nevela and a shechted animal, he'll eat the shechted animal. But if the guy is in the middle of nowhere where there's no kosher food, he'll go for the hamburger from McDonald's because he's hungry, l'taiva. But he's not l'hachis. L'hachis is I'm doing a dafka to eat the treif. Even though there's a kosher meat right here, I'm still eating the treif. That's l'hachis. The tiavon is, if the guy is not able to find his kosher food, then he'll go for the non-kosher food. It's not as bad. So what's the nafkamina? Again, alahacha ba'ochel nevela l'tiavon. The guy eats nevela because he's got no self-control. v'neschalif lo b'shuman, and turns out that he got switched around with the shuman, with some kosher fats. So the Gemara says, v'achlu, he ate it. Kamifagi, that's the machlok. We'll look at Rashi in just a moment. The Mar Savar, one holds, kevan did the te'avon achil, b'mezin mumarhu, since even though he's in general, if he had another option, he wouldn't eat it. But l'maisa, right now, he ate the tray food because that's what was available. He's a mumar. He did it by major. That's a mumar. The Marisavar, the other opinion holds, Kevin de ilu ashach de tera lo achel de isura. If he had available kosher hamburger, he would have eaten the kosher hamburger, la mumar. That's not called a mumar. So that's the nafkamina. According to the Tanakhama, this person who chose, he didn't choose, he ate the teavon, that's a mumar. He did b'mezi. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew he bought a hamburger from McDonald's. That's called a mumar. But according to the second opinion, no, that's not a mumar. It's shebidiyasa. He's some level of charat. He feels guilty. He just can't control himself. Had he had kosher food, he would have went for the kosher food. He just can't control his body. And therefore, he's not a mumar, and he's called a shebidiyasa, and is able to bring a carbon. So,
according to the second shot, there is no mumar leteavon.
According to the second shot,
that every time there is a teavon, it's really like the guy is weak.
Right, a mumar l'teavon isn't a mumar.
Exactly.
There's a concept, mumar l'teavon, but
right.
It has no halachic impact.
It wouldn't apply in this case.
Exactly. It might be other areas where it would apply. I don't know where else, but certainly not in this case. Right, very good. Okay, the Gemara now says, last 10 lines of the page or so, Tanur Rabban. The Braisa tells us, Achel chaylev zehu mumar. Person eats chaylev, he's called a mumar. Veza mumar, which is a mumar? The Gemara is going to ask, we just told you what a mumar was. Veza mumar, what's a mumar? Achal nevelos, v'trefos, shkatzim, ramasim, eating nevela, trefos, insects and things that are all osir, v'shasa yai nesach. Rabbi Yehuda omer, af halovesh kloim, a person who wears shatnes. So what's pshat in this braisa? Amar mar, we're now repeating the braisa and explaining. Achal chaylev, yei chaylev, zeu mumar, veza mumar, ochal neves, and now which is a mumar? My kamar, we just told you what a mumar was. So what's the pshat in the braisa? Amar Abba Bar Barchana, Rabbi Yochanan Hachi Kamar. This is what it means. Achal chaylev l'tiavon. Eat chaylev because you have a taivon. You can't find kosher fats. Hareza mumar. Hareza mumar. That's a mumar. Lahachis. The guy does it lahachis. Dafke. Even if there is kosher fats, he still eats the chaylev. That's aser. Lahachis. Hareza tzeduki. It's called the tzeduki. And Rashi points out here v'shchitaso l'avodas kochavim. That means if he shechs any animals, we assume the shechting is a vodazara. The first parak of Chulin, that's part of Kachim, we have a long way to get there, to Chulin, that we have around almost a year, around 250 days till we get to Chulin, but the beginning of Chulin talks about a person...
Seven months.
Okay. So that's around 200 days, 210 days or so. So the Gemara says that a mumar l'teavon, he respects talacha. So if he's going to shecht an animal, he'll shecht it properly, because he'd rather eat a kosher piece of meat. So we could trust the shechita of a mumar l'teavon. But a mumar lahachis, he dafka wants to create nevelas. We can't trust him. He's like a tzeduki. We assume his shechting is for avodah zarah. It's not a kosher shechita. So then the Gemara says, veza mumar dimistama tzeduki avi. How do you know which type of mumar could you assess that you could assume he's probably a tzeduki? So the Gemara says, havi omer ochel nevela v'trefa shkatzim ramasim v'shasa yai nesach. People who eat these things which are all disgusting. Who would eat? And Yai Nesach doesn't really fit into that category so much, at least for us. I don't know what that means. But Rashi says all these things are disgusting, and people are very grossed out by this, and the only reason why he would eat it is lahachis. So if you see a guy eating insects and bugs, or nevelos v'trefos, which we all find to be disgusting, that clearly indicates he's probably a mumar lahachis, and you could assume he's a tzeduki. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda, rather Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, he adds, af halovich klaim. There's no reason to wear shatnez. There's plenty of clothing without shatnez. The fact that the guy is dafka wearing shatnez clothing tells us he's doing it lahachis, and you could assume he's a tzeduki. So my benai, what's the nafkamina between the opinion of Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama? L'chor, the Tanakhama would agree, if a person wears shatnez, that's also considered a mumar lahachis. So my benai, what's the nafkamina? Ikebenai kalayim dirabban. If it's kalayim, that's only dirabban. Rashi goes to what types of kalayim are dirabban. If they're not sewed together in such a way, then it wouldn't be necessarily deraisa. It would only be dirabban. Would that render a person considered mumar lahachis? The Gemara explains as follows: that mar saver deraisa havi mumar dirabban lo havi mumar. The first opinion thinks only if a guy's wearing shatnez deraisa does it render him a mumar lahachis. If he's only wearing shatnez that's an iser midirabban, it wouldn't render him a mumar. But Marisav, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Kalayim came in the Mefarsim Isura Afilu B'Dirabanan Havi Mumar. Since the Isra Shatnez is so aware, even the Dirabanan is such a public thing, and people know when you're wearing Shatnez, I guess. So therefore, the fact that guys dafka doing it makes a person into a Mumar.
a mumer lahachas.
According to Yochanan, there's three different levels. One is mishecha lechadetavan, he's a mumer. If he is chedev lehachis, he's not a mumer, he's just a tzeduki. And then if he eats nevelos, he's a mumer tzeduki. Is that what it is? Or he's just saying that the second case is also mumer tzeduki?
He's telling you, there's two cases, only teavon, stam mumer,
and mumer tzeduki.
This last case is just a list of examples are telling you, how do you know what's mumer lehachis or not? If you see a guy doing these averas, that's clearly lehachis. What's fascinating here is a person can become, based on this last idea, that Rabbi Yosef Bar Yehuda holds, a person can become a mumar even when he violates Isurei Midirabanan. If these Isurei Midirabanan are so publicly known, that could also render him into a mumar lahachitz. Gemara now says the last four lines of the page here, Pligi Bar Rav Acha Ravina, there's a machlokas amarayim about the following. That Chad Amar Latiavon Mumar Lahachitz Tzeduki, Chad Amar Latiavon Mumar Lahachis Tzeduki, right? If a person does Latiavon, he's called a Mumar. If he does a Lahachis, he's called a Tzeduki. Echad Amar Lahachis Nami Mumar. He thinks Lahachis is also called a Mumar, but not called a Tzeduki. And the nafkaminas are, when it comes to things for, do we assume it's done for Avodah Zarah or not done for Avodah Zarah? Tzeduki do things for Avodah Zarah. Lahachis doesn't necessarily do things for Avodah Zarah. He might be off the Darach, but it doesn't mean he's an Ovi Avodah Zarah. So Ella is a Tzeduki. According to the other opinion that thinks both Latiavon and Lahachis are called a mumar, so then what's the considered tzeduki? So the Gemara explains, kola oved avodah tzochav, if you do mamish avodah zara, that makes you into tzeduki. Anything short of that, you would only be a mumar. So meisive, the Gemara asks, achal pirish echad o yitush echad, eat a certain type of fly or insect, hareis a mumar, that's a mumar. So this is clearly only a person would eat an insect if he's doing lahachis. No one eats an insect because you have a teavon for insects. So he's clearly doing a lahachis. And we see that even though it's lahachis, he's still called a mumar. So we see that lahachis is called a mumar, and it's not called the tzeduki. So that supports one of these two amarayim. So Gemara says, Hasam hu da'amar etom tam di isur. The guy wasn't doing it even lahachis. He wanted to taste isur. Everyone grows up, everyone wants to rebel a little bit. Doesn't call you lahachis. Kids do things all the time that they shouldn't be doing. They want to taste a little bit of what isur tastes like, but that's not called lahachis. If a guy is doing it regularly, then that's lahachis. This is just a guy who's exploring the world of isur. Last two lines of the page, the Gemara says, Ezu nasi ze amelach, who's a nasi? The Mishnah told us yesterday, anything a king, that there's no one above him other than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Tanur Rabbanan, Nasi, it says Nasi in the Pasuk Yachal. One might think Nasi Shevet Kenachshin Beminyadav, like Shevet Yehuda. He's a Nasi. Tamalomer Mikol Mitzas Hashem Elokav Ulahalan Huomer Leman Yilmar Diliras Hashem Elokav. It says in the Pasuk, that's in Parsha Shoftim, where it talks about the Parsha of a Melech, that the king can't marry too many horses, too many wives, have too much money. So we have a Gezer Shava, just like there to the king, so to Hashem Elokav by Nasi is referring to Mamasha king, not a Nasi of a Shevet. So the Gemara explains all of that in the top of Amud Beis. Malahalan, just like over there, She'ein al Gabav el Hashem Elokav, just like the Parsha and Shoftim is only referring to a king, so to Af Nasi, when it says Nasi in Parshas Vayikra, She'ein al Gabav el Hashem Elokav, namely it's referring to a king. So, Boy Minei Rabbi, May Rabbi Chia. Rabbi asks Rabbi Chia the following Shaila. Kigon Ani Mahu. We know Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, he was a Nasi. He wanted to know what his status was. Am I a Nasi? Mahu Bisar, do I bring a Sarir? Is my position as Nasi really a Nasi of the Torah? And do I bring a Sarir if I violate an Avera or not? So look at Rashi for a second. Ani Mahu Bisar, two lines down top right. Kolomer Nisias Didi, my Nisias, me have a Nisias Me'alya, Di'ilu Havina Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kaim Maisina Sarir Lo. Had the Beis HaMikdash been, not now, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed during Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's time. So they all ask, the Be'er Shev asks, what does he care for? The Beis HaMikdash isn't here. What type of question? Why are you wasting your time here? The Gemara only talks about things that are relevant. What's the relevance of this? So they try to think of different things. But the Chassam Sofer says this is a raya, that there's an idea to say karbanos every single day, a karban chatas in particular. So you have to know which karban chatas should he be saying every single day. Should he say the karban chatas of a yachid, of the par, of the seer, of a kisba rather, or should he be saying the karban chatas of a nasi that he brought a sayer? That is the nafkamina according to the Chassam Sofer. So what's the answer? Would he say the carbon of a sayer or the carbon of a yachid? So the Gemara says, Amr Lei, Hare Tarascha beBavel, your pain is in Bavel, meaning the Reish Galus in Bavel is much more powerful than you in Eretz Yisrael, in which case Hashem is not the only one above you. Reish Galus is also above you. You don't fall into the category of a Nasi, and you wouldn't say the Parsha of the Sire. It does imply that maybe the Reish Galusa would then. Maybe the Reish Galusa, he wasn't called a Nasi, but he was also powerful. So I don't know what the status of Reish Galusa would be.
So assume they were always there from Malchus David, right? They had the Rosh
Hashanah. They talk about that. I think Hillel was. They say Hillel was. Yeah.
And then they kept on singing.
It could be that they continued passing it on. So then the Gemara says, "Aseve Malchi Yisrael Malchi Beis David Elu Mevin Latzman Velu Mevin Latzman." Each of these kings, when the kingdom split up, they would each consider a melech, and they would have to bring the king of each Yisrael and Yehuda, respectively, would have to bring a karban. The Nasi would have to bring a sayur. So we see from here that you can have two kings. Just because there's a Reish Galusa doesn't mean it takes away the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. So maybe Rebbe would also have to bring a sayur. Amalei Hasam lo kaifi hadade. But there, by Malchi Beis David and Malchi Beis Yisrael, they weren't kafuf to each other. They didn't respect each other. So they were no one greater than them in their own world. As opposed to Hacha by Reish Galusa and Eretz Yisrael, Nasi of Eretz Yisrael, Aran kaifina lehu lididu. The Nasi in Eretz Yisrael was kafuf to Reish Galusa, in which case he wasn't the top, he wasn't the most powerful. Gemara says Rav Safra Masni Hacha. Rav Safra had a slightly different a girsa of this shaila. Bar minei Rabbi mi Rabbi Chia kigon ani ma basayer. Would I bring a sayer? Asked Rabbi, because I'm a nasi. Rabbi Yehuda nasi was a nasi. Amalei hasam shevet hacha mechokek. The pasuk says in the end of Parshas Vayechi, the bracha to Yehuda talks about shevet mechokek. What does that mean? V'tanya lo yasir shevet Yehuda zerosh kola. You should never leave the shevet. Will never leave Yehuda. Reference to Reish Galusa, how they would shebe bavel. She rode as Yisrael b'maka. They would be very strong with an iron fist hitting people. They had a very strong way of controlling bavel. Mechokek in the pasuk mibein raglav is a reference to elu b'nei banav shel Hillel, the great grandchildren of Hillel. Shemalam din Torah v'lisol abraham, which would teach, which were more, you know, benachas, and there it is, all the more benachas. So what's the answer here? How is this explaining this shaila? So they say that in Eretz Yisrael, you guys aren't really kings here. You're nice, you teach Torah, you're rebbeim, very, very nice, you're Rosh Yeshiva, but you don't have a din of melech. Bavel Reish Galusa, where it says, lo yashu shevet Yehuda, not to remove the stick, they have a iron fist, they are considered malchus, but in Eretz Yisrael, you're not considered a melech, in which case you would not say the karban, the parsha of a nasi. The new Mishnah tells us now, Ezu, a Mashiach, what's considered, who is the, we've been talking about Mashiach the whole Mishnah, the whole Masechta. A guy who doesn't know anything would think we're talking about Mamish the Mashiach. We're talking about Kohen Mashiach. Which Mashiach are we referring to? The Mishnah tells us, Ha Mashiach b'Sheven HaMishcha, a person who was anointed, a Kohen Gadol that was anointed with the Sheven HaMishcha, Lo HaMeruah Begadim. During Bais Rishon, they had Sheven HaMishcha that dated back to Moshe Rabbeinu, as we'll see in the Gemara, how we got the Sheven HaMishcha. They would anoint the Kohen Gadol with it to become Kohen Gadol. But after the Bais Rishon, they, Yoshio, I think, he hid the Shemin HaMishcha. We no longer had Shemin HaMishcha to anoint the Kohen Gadol, so now Meruba Begadim, by the Kohen Hedyot, now donning the eight Begadim of the Kohen Gadol, Meruba Begadim, that would then create him, that would give him the Kedusha of being a Kohen Gadol. Rav Chaim has a beautiful piece on the Rambam. There are two aspects of the Kohen Gadol. There's the Minoy, and then there's the Kedusha. This week's Parsha, this Ramban, that talks about this idea based on a Ravid, that they ask how come the when another of you were killed, how come the other two sons didn't take them out? They had to be the cousins that took them out. Only Kohen Gadol can't be Metame Mace. But the Kohen Hedyot, Aaron's other two sons were Kohen Hedyotim, they could go in and take out the Tumas Mace. So Raman says, since they were anointed B'Shem and HaMishcha, they had a Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol. Even though they didn't have the Minoy of the Kohen Gadol, they were not appointed in Kohen Gadol, they had the Kedusha of the Kohen Gadol, which case, just like the Aaron of Kohen wasn't able to be Matame Lameis, so too they had the same din, they couldn't be Matame Meis. So there's an Indian of Kedusha and there's an Indian of Minoy. So Minoy is appointed by the Bezdin, and the Kedusha is either by Shemin HaMishcha or by Meruba Begadim.
What's the definition of Minoy?
Minoy is appointed. There's appointed. So you could have sometimes where there's Kedusha without Minoy. The children of Aaron had a Kedusha's Kohen Gadol because of Shemin HaMishcha, but they didn't have the Minoy because they weren't appointed to Kohen Gadolim. Only the Aaron was the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara now, the Mishnah says, "Ein bein kohen mashuach b'shemin hamishcha l'meruba begadim." What's the difference between these two, other than the fact that they were infused with kedusha in two different ways? But once they're both kohanim gadolim, what's the difference between shemin hamishcha and meruba begadim? El par haba kol mitzvos. That the shemin hamishcha, the kohen mashiach with shemin hamishcha, if he violated a vera shigas maisa in mehelam davar, he would bring a karbon par. But a shemen, a kohen mashuach b'meruba begadim is not subject to the parsha of shigas maisa im helam davar. He would bring a regular karban yachal like anyone else. Then the Mishnah says, v'ein bein kohen mishamesh l'kohen sha'avar, a kohen gadol who was acting, and a kohen gadol who was acting temporarily and now was removed from post, he still has a din of kohen gadol. So what's the difference between the kohen gadol who's acting duty and those who are already in the reserves now, who already was removed? Ela Paryum HaKippurim V'Asir Sa'eifa. That only the acting Kohen Gadol brings the Paryum Yom Kippur, and only the acting Kohen Gadol brings the daily Asir Sa'eifa that Kohen Gadol brings. But the one, the Sha'avar, doesn't bring either one. V'zeh, both types of Kohanim, Gedolim, even the Sha'avar one, Shavim Bavodas Yom HaKippurim, they both could do the rest of the Avodah Yom Kippur. Even though only the Kohen Gadol acting can bring the Par, all the other Avodos can be done by either Kohen Gadol, and they're also both Metzuvan al Basula, they could only marry a Basula. At Vasurim, they're both Aser, ala Amana, they can't marry a widow, and certainly not a Grusha, because any Kohen can't marry a Grusha. Veina Matame Bekroveim, and they are not able to be Matame to relatives either, Kohen Gadolim, both Kohanim Gadolim. Velo Parim, they can't let their hair grow too long. Velo Parim, they can't have their clothing torn. Umachzin Rotech, if either one dies, anyone who is sent to Galus return back with the death of either of these Kohanim Gedolim. The Gemara now says, the Brice, I know there's so much to do, so much to say. The Brice says, Tanur Rabbana, Neshemen HaMishcha, She'asa Moshe B'Midbar. How did they create the Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe Benu made in the Midbar? Hayu Shulkin Bo, Asaykarim, they would first boil the roots of the, they had oil, and then they had the herbs and the spices. So what they would first do is they would first cook the roots in there, in water, and then that's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. What was the reason for all this? So, did Rashi explain this? Rashi doesn't say this.
So, the oil should absorb the smell.
So they would cook it in the oil or in the water, I think. Maybe the next line is the oil and then the water. So they would mavish cook it in the root. They put the spices in the oil and boil it together, and then the oil would then absorb the scent.
The roots and then thus imparted fragrance to them.
Right. So then Rabbi Yossi Omer, so then to put the oil in the karm, the roots is not going to work. Meaning what? What's going to happen is the roots are going to absorb the oil. There's not going to be any oil left. So that's going to be to put all the herbs in. This oil is going to dissipate. First, what you have to do is soak the roots in water. And then what's going to happen is the scent, the fragrance is going to rise to the top. And then put the shemen, mix the shemen together with that water. And then you're going to kind of dip it in. Rashi explains the process here a little bit. Rashi says, first you put the roots in water. Now what happens is by doing that, the roots absorb water. So now the roots are not able to absorb any oil after that fact. That's stage one. And then after you take the roots from the water, so then you place them in the oil, and then you put them in the oil quickly, and then remove them from the oil. This way the oil doesn't get lost in any of the roots. But at least the oil was able to absorb some of the fragrance from the roots. That's how he understands this. So Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda responds back to Rabbi Yossi, why do you need this whole process of first soaking in the water, then putting it in, then taking it out really quickly? Was there only one miracle that happened with the Shemen HaMishcha? There are so many nisim. The amount of oil that Moshe Rabbeinu started with was 12 lug. Umimenu, from those 12 lug, I don't know what it means in our volumes, but it's apparently not that much. Hayanim Shach Mishkan, they used that amount of oil to anoint the entire Mishkan, which was huge. For Caleb and all the utensils, and Aaron, Ubanov, Kol Shiveshi Me'a Milum, they did this every single day for 7 days. For Kulo Kaim La'asa Lavon, it was all kept for the future. Shinem Ar Shemen HaMishchatz Kodesh Yeh, Zeli L'Dor Seichem. So yes, it could in theory absorb all the oil, but we know this was a special oil that never really went anywhere. It was endless. It had no bottom to it. And therefore, there's no problem of putting the roots directly in and boiling it together. The oil wasn't going anywhere.
I think it's just between 4 and 7 liters of nowadays.
Okay, which again is not that much compared to the whole Mishkan, Caleb, and all the children. Tani Idach, the Baitse says, Vayikach Moshe Shemen HaMishcha Vayimshach Es HaMishkan Ves Kol Asher Bo. He took the oil, Moshe, and anointed all the Kalim and the Mishkan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shemen HaMishcha She'asa Moshe B'Midbar Kamanisim Nasu Bo Mitchila V'Atzof. To how many miracles were done? From the beginning till end, Tchilaso Lo Haya El Shnei Masar Lugim, there's only 12 lug, which is around, you said, 7 liters. Ra Kama Yor Bolas, how much in general, when you boil oil, does it evaporate? Kama Ikar and Bolin, how much do roots normally absorb? Kama or Sarv, how much does the fire burn out? Bo Nimshach, and still, after all that, which you would think would diminish the volume, and yet still, Ubo Nimshach, with that oil, they Nimshach, Mishkan, Vikela, V'Aaron, Ubana, V'Kol, Shivashi, Me'am, Uluim, Ubo Nimshach, Kohanim Gedolim, Mulachim, afterward they used it for other Kohanim Gedolim, and other kings in the future, V'Afilu, Kohen Gadol, Ben Kohen Gadol, Tar Meshicha, even the Kohen Gadol, who is Yorish, the Kohen Gadol, from his father, also requires Mashicha. And just as a side point, the Gemara continues to say, Ve'ein Moshchen Melech Ben Melech, a prince who's now appointed king, takes over his father's position, doesn't require Mashicha. Vim Tomer, if you're going to tell me, Bibnei Ma Mishchu as Shlomo, wasn't Shlomo's father David? So how come Shlomo required a Mashicha? We said Melech Ben Melech doesn't require Mashicha. Mipnei Machlokas Shel Aron, Adoniyahu rather. There was a Machlokas Adoniyahu, another son of David, wanted to be the king. So we have to make things clear that Shlomo was the king. There's a Machlokas Rashi Ramam, when there's a Machlokas by Malchus. Malchus is a Yerusha. That's clear from the Gemara. It's a Yerusha. And you don't need a Mashicha. But if there's a Machlokas, does that say the Yerusha is broken now? Or no, the Yerusha is still there, but we had to do a Shem HaMishcha just to appease everyone, but it wasn't really necessary. So Rashi and Ramam have a Machlokas, but I don't have time to go into this right now. Then the Gemara says, "There's Yoash. Why was Yoash anointed? He was also the son of a king. Mipnei Atalia, Atalia wanted the kingdom also. Ves Yoachas, why? Mipnei Yoyakim. Whenever there's a Machlokas in the Malchus, there was always a Mashicha for the son. Sheyagadim imenu Sheishanim, because Yoyakim was older than Yoachas by 2 years. Vos Hashemin Kaim Las Lavo, and that same Shemin HaMishcha that was used for all those kings and Kohanim Gedolim is going to last forever. Shenem Ar Shemin Mishchas Kodesh Yezel Li L'Dori Seichem. This is going to last forever, ever. What does that mean? Begematria Shnei Masar Lugin Havu. That 12 Lugin is going to be the same volume forever. No matter how much you take out, it's always going to remain 12 Lug, as the Pasuk says, Zeh. Says the Gemara now, Amar Mar. Afilu Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol tan Mashicha. Even the Kohen Gadol requires a Mashicha, even though his father was also Kohen Gadol. How do we know this to be the case? Tichsiva v'akorin himshiach tachdav mibanov, that you have to anoint the son below it. So therefore, it's a Mashicha, even for the son requires a Mashicha from Shemin HaMishcha. Neimakra, the pasuk should say v'akorin mitachdav mibanov. My himshiach, it's extra word. Kamashman the mibanov the Kohen Gadol. You have a Mashiach, have a Kohen Gadol. If you do an anointment, then the son of the Kohen Gadol will be a Kohen Gadol himself. V'lo, if there is no Mashiach, then lo have a Kohen Gadol. He cannot be Kohen Gadol until he receives a Mashiach of Shemin HaMishcha. Amar Mar, the Gemara said above, Vein Moshchen Melech by Melech, we can't appoint a prince to be the new king. Minon, rather, you don't need to do a Mashicha on a prince who's becoming king. How do we know this? Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Dichsiv Leman Yarich Yamim Al HaMamlachto, Mamlachto, that in order that your leadership, your Malchus should continue for many years, we learn from here that Yerusha Hi Lachem, the Malchus is considered a Yerusha, is brought down in the Rambam and others as well. This Machlokas, does Yerusha apply to other types of Minuim, other types of appointments? There's a discussion, let's say a Shochet. Shochet is considered a prestigious position. Could that be something that he could pass on to his child as well? The Rambam writes all other sroros, all other types of offices and positions is considered Yerusha, and as long as the child is able to fill the spot, fill the shoes of his father, he has first dibs to taking over that appointment. The question becomes, what's considered sro? What's considered a position of authority? So then the Gemara says, Uminol, and how do we know? The Chi'ika Machlokas, when there is a Machlokas, who's going to take over as king, then you do buy Mashicha, you require a Mashicha. V'lav kol debay Malka, V'lav kol debay Malka, Moris Malchus Levane, and then you can't just give it to whoever you want. Amar Rav Papa, Amar Kra, Hu Vanov Bekerav Yisrael, that he and his children within Kerav Yisrael, what does that mean? Bizman Shishon be Israel Karina Bey Hu Uvanov. When there's a peace, when everyone's in agreement, who's the next in line? So then he and his son are able to take it over. There's no need for a Mashicha. Filo below Mashicha, you don't need a Mashicha. Implying if it's not Shalom, if there's a Machlokas, so then the Banov won't, the children will not take it over naturally, in which case you're going to require a Mashicha for the Ben Melech. Tana af Yehu ben Nimshi lo Nimshechal mepnei Machlokaso sheyoram. This was another instance where there's a Machlokas, and for that reason Yehu required a Mashicha, even though he was the son of a king. V'tepik le mishum derishon hu. Why do you say because he was the first one in line? What that meaning? What the Yoram was the first one? Meaning what? The Chasur Mechser. There's something missing here. Halchi katani. We have to reread the Brayos and say as follows. Malchi beis David mishuchen. The only Malchi beis David requires Mashicha based on the Pesukim. But Malchi Yisrael ain Moshchen. Minolan, how do you know that Malchi Yisrael doesn't require Mashicha? Amarava, Amarakra, Kum Mishchayu Kizeh. Kizeh means Zeh. Zeh Tal Mashicha, Vein Acher Tal Mashicha. This instance, this example requires Mashicha, but no other require Mashicha. So that pasuk is referring to Malchi Beis David. It's only Malchi Beis David requires Mashicha, but Malchi Yisrael doesn't require Mashicha. So Amar Mar, we said just above, Av Yehu ben Nimshi lo Nimshach el Mipnei Machlokaso shel Yoram. He also received the Mashiach of Shemin and Mishcha because of Machlokas of his brother. Umishim Machlokaso shel Yoram ben Achav Nimol b'Shemin. Shemin and Mishcha was a Hektesh. How are you able to use Hektesh? Isn't that a violation of Me'ilah? It's unnecessary. Because of Machlokas, we're going to violate Hektesh by giving Shemin and Mishcha. Gemara says, you're right. Kedama Rav Papa, Barf Samya Dachya, Hachanai Barf Samya Dachya. It wasn't Shemin and Mishcha. They used some oil that was a replication of the Shemin HaMishcha, but not the actual Shemin HaMishcha, because you're right, that would in fact be a violation of Me'ila.
Okay, so it's saying that Malchi Yehuda, if it's no Safek, they don't get Mishcha.
Correct.
If there is Safek, they get Mishcha.
Exactly.
And Malchi Yisrael, even with Safek, they don't get.
Exactly, right. Exactly. So then the Gemara says, V'asiyayachiz mipnei yayakim, shayagadu mimenu sheshanim. Yayachiz required getting the Shemin HaMishcha because he had an older brother by 2 years. Yayakim was older than him. So the Gemara says, Umi kashis minei? Is it really true that Yayakim was older than Yayachiz? V'aksiv, the Pasuk says, Uvnei Yoshio. Who were the children of Yoshio? HaBechor was Yochanan. HaSheni was Yayakim. HaShlishi Tzidkio. HaRvi Shalom. V'amar B'Yochanan, Yochanan says, Who Shalom? Who Tzidkio? Who Yochanan, who Yehoachaz. So we see here that the Bechor was Yochanan, that's also Yehoachaz. So Yehoachaz was actually the Bechor. He was older than Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim wasn't older than Yehoachaz. So Gemara says, you're right. Li'olam, really in reality, Yehoyakim was Kashi. Yehoyakim is really older, even though he's mentioned second in the Pasuk. Umay Bechor, so why do we call Yochanan, or Yehoachaz the Bechor? Bechor Lamalchus, meaning he was fit more so for the Malchus, but in terms of age, he was actually younger. He was only Bechor for the Malchus. Umi Malchi Zutre Mekami Kashisha. Are you going to appoint a younger son as king over the older son? Vaksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say, Ves Mamlecha Nasan Liyaharam Kihu Bechor, that Yoram was a Bechor, so he got it. Dafka, because a person's a Bechor. You always give the oldest. Where it says, no, Yehoram Mimali Makam Avosavhu. Meaning we always go for the Bechor, the oldest, if he's fit. But if he's not fit, so then we go for the next in line. So Yehoram was a Bechor, and he was also fit. That's why he got it. We looked to Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim was a Bechor, but he wasn't fit. And for that reason, we passed over him, and we gave it to his brother, his younger brother. Yehoachaz is also known as Yochanan. Amar Mar, the Gemara says, Hu Shalom, Hu Tzidkiyo, Hu Yochanan, Hu Yehoachaz. So that it says Shalom Tzidkiyahu and Yochanan are all the same person. Yochanan is all the same person here, but the Pasuk says there are three different people. It says Yochanan is a separate person, and Shlishi Tzidkiyahu, and says Shalom is a fourth person. How could we now say they're all the same person? The Gemara says Dichsiv HaShlishi Revi, my Shlishi, Shlishi Levanim. He's a third in terms of the children, the order of children. Umar Revi, what does it mean when he's Revi? Revi LaMalchus to Mikara Melch Yoachas. Initially, we appointed Yoachas as the brother. So in terms of, it really is the same person here, but they're third in terms of the order, and fourth in terms of it being appointed the king. Okay? We will stop here, and we'll pick up tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.